So hi everyone, I'm Catelyn Rideau and I'm the Training Program Manager with the NYU CTSI and the NYU Center for the Study of Asian American Health. And as Carolyn introduced this panel in the beginning, the four of us really represent four different models of capacity building. And as I'm going to talk about today, our capacity building program, which we call CERT, our Community Empowered Research Training Program, I think of it sort of like a bare bones, low intensive resource version. And as I'll talk about today, there are both benefits and disadvantages to this model. I have nothing to explain. So very quickly, just a very brief background. CERT is really built on this belief that community-based organizations have a real-world knowledge and experiences of the communities that they serve, so they're really in the best place to be involved in research to address health disparities. So the purpose of my talk today is to demonstrate that even short intensive workshops can strengthen research capacity to facilitate community engagement and to foster the development of community-initiated research. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how we developed CERT. I'll talk a little bit about the implementation, evaluation, and dissemination of our program. And then I'll finish about talking about some of the take-home messages and key lessons learned that we learned. So in terms of the development of CERT, when I first started at the CTSI, which is about 3 years ago, I was asked to help develop a research training program for community groups. And I remember thinking, you know, sure, I'd be happy to, but, you know, whatever does that look like? And there really wasn't a whole lot of literature out there or best practices to learn from. So it was a real challenge, but I was lucky enough to know Carolyn through another partnership, and I knew that she was in the middle of developing and in the midst of implementing her program. So I called her up, and we had a great conversation, and I learned a ton from, you know, what they had been doing. And she also invited me up to Boston, so I came and I sat in a couple sessions, which was great. And she also put me in touch with Jen at NewCats, who was sitting on her advisory board. So I called up Jen. We had a great conversation. And sort of on and on from there, a huge part of what informed the development of CERT was this sort of, you know, peer learning that was happening. A second big part that helped inform the development of CERT was we created a research capacity assessment, and we sent that out through our national networks. And in the end, we had about 50 executive directors representing community-based organizations and community health centers who completed that survey. And the survey looked at things like, you know, organizational characteristics, interest in and current participation in research, current level of infrastructure to engage in research, and then things like, you know, research-related training, technical assistance, and resources that were needed. Another really important part about the development of CERT that I want to talk about is that CERT was co-developed and co-implemented with community experts who actually come from three different university community partnerships. So the first was through our New York University Prevention Research Center, which includes our Center for the Study of Asian American Health, and then our biggest partner there was the Charles B. Wong Community Health Center. So this group was really the driving force behind, you know, fine-tuning our curriculum and then all the logistics that go into actually implementing a training program. Our second partner was our Community Advisory Board for our CTSI. And this group meets quarterly. It's made up of 19 community leaders who represent diverse racial and ethnic communities in New York City. And again, they really helped inform the development of the curriculum, and they were also our speakers and our facilitators during the training. And then the third community university partnership was our Center for the Study of Asian American Health. We have a National Advisory Committee, or what we call our NAC. And our NAC is made up of 11 community groups from across the U.S., who are specifically focused on Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander health. And one of our key partners there is the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum. So this group met, we brought them together for two face-to-face meetings, and they also participated in monthly phone calls with us. And again, they really helped inform the curriculum, and they were also our facilitators and presenters during the training. So I wanted to talk about some of the key pieces that came out of those assessments and those discussions with our community experts and that we feel are really key pieces to include in any training program. So the first is that any training program needs to be co-developed and co-implemented with community groups to ensure that the curriculum is going to be relevant. We also heard from people that they wanted to they wanted a training that was in person, so a classroom setting or a workshop setting, as opposed to, example, you know, something that was online. And we also heard that people wanted something that was short duration. So they wanted something that was an intensive 2 or 3 day program as opposed to something that went over weeks or months. We also heard that any training program needed to be targeted to higher level personnel, and in particular targeted to executive directors, because you really needed to have that organizational level buy-in. We also heard that any training program needed to be relevant to community groups. For example, you know, making sure that the research topics that we were going to be training on were relevant to the work that communities are doing on the ground. And then finally, just a couple of the sort of key, most highly rated topics of interest were things like any curriculum should include grant writing, using data to inform programs, and program evaluation. In terms of implementation, we first piloted CERT as we did a 2-day back-to-back training in May 2011, and then we revised the curriculum slightly, and then we offered it again in December as a 1-day training in December 2011. And the pictures there just show examples of the different formats we used. So we had sort of more didactic presentations, we had panel presentations, we had participatory exercises, and then as you can see in the bottom right-hand corner, the first time that we offered the training as the pilot, we also had a reception in the evening, and all the participants and all the presenters came, and it was really fun, and we heard later from the participants that that was really key. It was an important piece that they had that opportunity to network with each other and also network with the presenters. We used a multi-method approach in our evaluation, so we did both quantitative surveys and we did qualitative interviews. We did pre-post-test surveys at the beginning and end of each workshop to assess changes in knowledge, changes in motivation to engage in research, and changes in confidence to engage in research activities. And then we did a couple different types of qualitative interviews. We did these debriefing interviews just with our pilot participants, and that was really just to ask them, you know, what did you think of the training and how do you recommend we improve it? Then we also did 6-month post-follow-up interviews with both the May workshop participants and the December workshop participants. And those interviews were really trying to get at, you know, did this program strengthen your research capacity? I'm just going to go over a few of the findings that came out of our evaluation. So from our pre- and post-workshop surveys, we did find that participants did have increased research knowledge and self-efficacy. So some of the examples there, people talked about feeling more confident in their understanding of research, in their ability to approach, for example, academic partners, and in their ability to design research studies and identify and collect relevant data. I'm just going to skip over that. In terms of the qualitative interviews, I actually don't have a slide on this, but when we did our debriefing interviews, there were 2 key things that came out of there. So people actually told us that even 2 days back-to-back was hard to do, especially for the executive directors to be away from their organizations for that long. So they recommended that we condense it into a 1-day training by, for example, getting rid of some of the sessions that weren't very highly rated. And one example is we did a session IRB that everyone was bored with and nobody liked, so we got that out. The other key thing that we heard was that the first time that we did it, it was a little bit too heavy on the didactic format, and people really wanted more opportunity to have discussions and participatory exercises. So we refined that, and we made some changes for our curriculum the next time that we offered it. But in terms of this slide, our participants out of the qualitative interviews talked about how they had learned new knowledge and skills. They did find the workshops useful and helpful. And then in particular, they talked about the use of case studies presented by community organizations as being really key in terms of them being able to understand how research could be relevant and tangible to the work that they do. And then again, I'm just going to share just a few of the key themes that came out of our interviews, our qualitative interviews. So we heard from participants that they did feel more empowered, and in particular, they felt more empowered to negotiate relationships with, for example, other academic partners or government partners. So one person here says, I'm able to connect with some of the new faculty at university to be more proactive in getting community-based research projects going. Another key theme that came out of our interviews, participants talked about that the CERT program helped them to understand that research can actually be relevant to the work that they do. As one participant here says, it was really helpful to hear her talk about the different perspectives on research. It helped me to understand and to bring back to the discussions back in the office that research doesn't have to be all numbers and you don't have to be so far removed. And then finally, another key theme that came out of our interviews was that participants talked about how the CERT program did help strengthen their research skills. As one participant here said, the grant writing portion helped me be a much more capable collaborator in grant writing. So we video recorded all of the sessions from our pilot in May 2011. So all of those videos are up on our website along with all the PowerPoint presentations that go with them. So I encourage you to check out our website. All of the PowerPoint presentations and the instructions of how we did our participatory exercises from our December workshop are also up on our website. So please visit our website. So now I'd like to talk about what we learned from this experience and what were the key lessons learned and the key take-home messages. The first was absolutely the value of using a community-engaged approach. And probably, everyone in this room who believes in community engagement, probably wouldn't build a research training program without having communities at the table. But I suppose it could happen, but, we definitely recommend that you don't. And that a key part of the success of CERT was because we had communities helping us to develop the program, and so they really ensured that our curriculum was going to be relevant to community groups. And then following that, this importance of case studies and CBO-led discussion. So we heard again and again from our participants, that's really what drove the message home for them, was from hearing from other community-based organizations talking about the case studies of the research work that they were doing. The third point here, one of the key challenges that we encountered was meeting the needs of both research-ready and non-research-ready groups. So in some of our conversations, people talked about, some of the people talked about that they'd actually already knew a lot of what we covered in the sessions. And so they recommended that we, tailor the curriculum to, for two different experience levels, which is a challenge, which is tough to do, but something to take into consideration. The fourth point is integrating applied projects and mentorship opportunities. So again, during some of our discussions, people talked about, it had been useful to be a part of this training. They had, learned a lot and strengthened their research capacity. But then as soon as you leave, you tend to forget everything that you learned, unless you're going to immediately start doing an applied project or you have an opportunity for mentorship. So that was something that was missing that we would definitely include again if we were to do do a short duration training program. And then finally, the last point that I want to talk about is the need for distinct sections targeting executive directors and their staff. So in our conversations, we heard, we heard from executive directors. It reaffirmed what we had learned earlier that, yes, they do need to be targeted in the beginning, and they do need to be targeted for these training programs if you're going to have that buy-in and that organizational level change. But the executive directors aren't necessarily the ones who are going to be carrying out the research activities. It's going to be their staff. So they talked to us about wanting a really different type of session. They wanted to come together and have more sort of like strategic level thinking about how do you include research in your organizational mission. And then it would be their staff who would participate in the more skills-based sessions, like how would you conduct a focus group. I just want to quickly acknowledge the grants who made this presentation possible. And then just to end with a reminder to check out our website, and there's my contact information, so please feel free to reach out to me. Thank you.